Welcome, everybody, to the Church on the North Coast podcast. I'm Pastor Troy Thompson. So glad you are with me today. I'm Pastor Troy Thompson, and I'm your friend. I'm so glad you're here, tuned in. Our greatest desire is to encourage you today, to encourage and empower ministry leaders, equip volunteers, strengthen and build the believer. We want to grow church. We want to grow. So welcome to the podcast today. I'm excited to be back in. I've been on the road, and so this is my, I'm just back. Been a minute since I've been here. Been about 10 days, I think, since I've been in the podcast studio. I do this for everyone because I want to give people cheat codes to things. You know, they're cheat codes to life. I want you to have the cheat codes to life. I'm all alone in the podcast room today. And so I'm reading text messages while I'm talking to you, but I'm all alone today. So I kind of just get to share a lot of what I believe God's speaking, and it's uninterrupted. And so I enjoy that sometimes. I always enjoy guests, but there are times when I just enjoy just being alone and having this opportunity to share with you without an interruption in the room or having to be polite and shift the conversation across the room. So welcome. Let somebody know. We're on YouTube, man. I'm really trying to build our YouTube channel. And so I want to go to 100,000 subscribers for Church on the North Coast by the end of the year. We're creating content like crazy, behind the scenes content, stuff that'll help the believer, like real hard stuff, practical stuff, conversations that are raw, lots of times unedited. So be looking for that. Go to our YouTube channel and be looking for that. Of course, this is our podcast where we'll eventually start video and go to YouTube with this as well. So that's coming up probably before the end of the month. Let everybody know, you know, Easter's coming. Invite somebody to our Easter Res Sunday service. It's going to be a powerful time. I think I'm going to share, I'll share this with you, but I think I'm going to share on do what Jesus did. You know, we used to ask the question, what would Jesus do? But I think I'm going to create a whole campaign on doing what Jesus did rather than asking him, just do it. Just do what Jesus did. I'd make some bracelets like that or something. I don't know. Anyhow, really good. Really good to be with you today. So much going on. We got a building project that we're in across really every campus. You know, we're building and extending and expanding territory. Made some major investments. God's really dealing with our heart about reaching the next generation for Jesus, and so we're making changes to make sure that we do that, that we reach them, and that our focus is on them. We're putting our money where our mouth is, putting our focus where our heart is as well. So lots going on there. You know, there's a stage being built in Lorraine. It was significant. And I just want to share this with you as I get started. I'm going to talk today about enduring versus easy. Enduring versus easy. But before I do that, I just want to say this. Like, God's doing something. God is building something on top of something. And recently we started extending the stage in Lorraine, and it's so significant. It's come with a great deal of resistance as well. I think that the enemy is so upset, so mad, but it's come with this great resistance to it because it's so significant for where we are and what we're attempting to accomplish. There was a teaching I listened to not long ago. It was about the three generations. First generation builds it. Second generation protects it. Third generation feels entitled to it. And the only way to avoid that sequence of event generationally from unfolding is if each generation commits to build. Each generation must commit to build and not allow themselves to accept what is, but rather to be challenged by what was and what currently is, and then to say, I will now do my part, and I will build upon this foundation. And as we began to build in Lorraine, we, you know, there was a big question that was raised, like, should we tear the steps out? And there's seven steps in Lorraine. Those seven steps are very, very meaningful. And Dr. Summerall came, preached a message on those seven steps from what I understand, well before I was here, in the early 90s. I didn't come until like the mid 90s, but, and so the foundation is so significant at Church on the North Coast. Of course, Dr. Cayton carried the ministry for, you know, 50 years here at Church on the North Coast, nearly 50. And this foundation is so significant. And as we begin to build the stage out, instead of tearing what was originally built, instead of tearing it out and starting over, I said, no, let's build on top of it. And I felt it was significant. And I heard the Lord say this, that it's that what God is doing now is he's building upon what was built. And it's important that each generation participates. And it's important that each generation take responsibility for what they're building. And it's really taking place. And so we began to build this stage on top of the stage. We didn't remove the stage. We built it on top of it. We had to reinforce the old stage. We had to go up underneath there, put some beams in, and we had to make sure that it was structurally sound. But we took care of that. And it's a spiritual building. So there's a lot of spiritual war to that. And God's anointed us to deal with it. I want you to know today, if you're born again, that there's a spiritual war that you're in, and God has anointed you for this time, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But you really need to accept your generation's responsibility to build. You know, as there was a breach in the wall, and Nehemiah saw it, he said, he began to weep and cry and said, you know, I'm going to go rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And you know, when you rebuild, you have to restore. You have to repair the breach, the part of the wall that has been compromised. And we really got to analyze where in our fellowship with Christ and one another, where are there breaches? Where is there weakness? Where is there an opportunity for the enemy to come in? And we got to restore, you know, because the Bible calls us those who are anointed. He said, you are now anointed to repair the breach. You are repairers of the breach, the prophet says. You're repairers of the breach. You're anointed to bring healing to broken things. You're anointed to restore what was broken. And I want to declare that over you, Church of the Living God. You are anointed to repair. My pastor said this to me recently as I began to, we were having conversations, and I said, well, that's not my problem. And there was a holy anger that came over him, and he didn't think I saw it, but I saw it. And he looked across the table and he said, you must never say that. You must never say that, that you must never be okay with it being broken. Your heart must be broken if it's broken. And you must know that you are the one that's anointed to bring restoration to it. And I declare that over you. If there's something broken in your family, you are the anointed one to repair the breach. You are the one. Don't throw away the foundation. Build upon the foundation. The only way we're going to get past this is if we all commit to restore, rebuild what was broken, and then to begin to build on top of it, begin to build. And I want to say, you know, you it's time to build. You have to begin to build. We must not grow complacent or comfortable. We must not grow apathetic. We must not say, this is it. This is all God did for us. We must constantly be living our lives by faith. Faith is violent and unpredictable, and faith is scary. And the Lord spoke to me recently. He says, Troy, you've grown comfortable. It's not hard for you to do what you do. It's easy. You're in a routine, and it's very convenient for you, very easy for you. I'm going to challenge you, Troy. And he began to challenge me, and he said, I want you to live by faith now. I want you to take risks of faith. I want you to stare into the future with hope, and I want you to build the kingdom for me now, Troy. I've restored now, God. He said to me, Troy, I've restored. You've seen my hand of restoration. You've seen how I've carried you through all of these hardships. You've seen how they walked out the back door and how I brought just as many and more through the front door. And God's telling us, take your eyes off of the back door. Put your eyes on those who are coming to you. Forget about yesterday. Forget about the past. past and now focus on the future. It's time to focus and it's time to build. And he said, listen, I'm calling you to take bigger risks, bigger. It's time to build, Troy. It's time to build. And I say that to you, church. It's time for you to begin to build. It's time for you to begin to take risk. It's time for you to sow bigger seeds. It's time for you to believe God for more. I want you to know there's more. There's so much more that God has for us. I don't care what season of life you are in. I want you to know that God's not done yet. God's not done. There is more. There's so much more. I've been in environments recently where I've been challenged deeply to ask God for more, to think bigger, to think more excellent, to believe for even greater things. My heart is on fire. And I can say that to you with a good deal of confidence to say, if you're not burning for Christ, you are in trouble, church. If you are not, if your heart does not burn, what they say, as we walked with him, did our hearts not burn? Burn as the Holy Spirit fell upon them, clothed in tongues of fire fell upon them. There was fire. Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. Jesus said, have I not come to set fire? I've come to set a fire. And so I want you to know, if you're not burning for Christ, you better get closer to Christ or get out of the way. God's in a season where he's not playing. And God's saying it's time to live by faith, not live by comfort, not live by what you've known in the past, but it's time to take great risks again. It's time to start building the kingdom. You know, the best time to build the kingdom is when everybody else is in retreat. God says, mash the gas, go for it. Go for it. Start building the kingdom. And he's telling you, I've been faithful to you. I've been so faithful to you. I brought you through. I've brought you through. He said this to me. I brought you through the pandemic. I brought you through the departures. I brought you through everyone walking away. You're still standing. I want you to know God's faithful. It doesn't matter who leaves you. God, if God before you, who can be against you? But it's time to start living by massive faith. Sow big seeds of faith. Live big in faith. Begin to pray for people like you've never prayed before. Begin to evangelize people like you've never evangelized before. I gave an evangelism hack the other day, and I said, look, man, all you got to do is find somebody. Just find one person a day that you can tell this to, and I want you to do this. I want you to just find one person a day where you walk up to them and you say these two words, you're called and you're chosen. That's all I want you to say. I want you to find somebody and then I want you to go up to them and I want you to tell them, hey man, I was over there and I saw you and God told me to come tell you, you are called. He's calling you and he's chosen you. I mean, just think about how marvelous that is, that the God of the universe is calling you right now. Everything you're going through is an indication of how he's calling you. You think it's an indication of how he doesn't love you, but really he's using everything in this world. The alarms are going off everywhere to let you know he's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. You know, sometimes God will use difficulty of the enemy to let you know he's calling you. Sometimes he will let persecution come to you. Sometimes suffering, he will permit suffering in order to let you and I know, hey man, I'm trying to get your attention. Nothing seems to be working. Maybe if I take this away, maybe if I let this happen, maybe if I let the enemy do this thing, so you will call out to me. I want you to know God's calling you. God's calling. That's what I want you to do. Somebody let them know God's calling you. Here, God's calling you. And God has chosen you. Just think of that. Just think. I want you to tell somebody, God's calling you. God's chosen you. He's chosen you. He could have chosen anybody around you, but he chose you, man. He chose you. You're a first round draft pick of heaven. That means, you know, if you get chosen first, you know what that means? You could play. That means you could play. I played basketball back in the day. And I want you to know, whenever I would get chosen first, that meant I was the best player on the floor. It didn't happen much. But you know, when it did, it let me know I'm the best player here. That people believe I can play the game. I want you to know that God believes that you have what it takes to share the gospel, to walk in your anointing, to walk in your call, to save your family. God believes in you. He believes in you so much that he chose you. Out of everyone in your family, he chose you. Of everyone in your friends, he chose you. Of everyone of your generation, he chose you. And I want you to tell them, I want you to find somebody this week. I want you to tell them you're called and you're chosen. When you tell them that, then you just pray for them. And as you're praying for them, you just say, God, I pray that they would answer the phone call of heaven right now, that they would understand that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. That God, once God calls somebody, he doesn't quit calling them. And that once God chooses somebody, he puts his power on them. to perform what he chose them to do, that the one who called them is Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can give you the confidence you need to walk in what he's chosen you to do. He chose you. He chose you. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself, and he's destined you for greater works. He said, greater works than these than my disciples will do. So he's called you, and he's chosen you. I want you to know that. And that's what you tell him, and you pray that. And then when right in the middle of it, you stop praying, and you say, look, man, do you know Jesus? And it doesn't matter what they say. Say, let's pray. Just give your heart to Jesus right now. And then you pray and you lead them in the sinner's prayer. You say, Jesus, and you say, pray, repeat after me. And you lead them in the sinner's prayer. And the sinner's prayer is easy. You just say, repeat after me, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me my sin. I repent. Say, I repent. Make them say, I repent. I repent. I repent. I repent. I give you my life. Take it now. Make it brand new. Make all things new in my life as you take it now. I surrender it to you, and I ask you to change my life. Change my life. Make me new. I surrender it to you. Take it now. Destroy the works of the devil in Jesus' name. That's all you pray. That's all you pray. So do that. Do that this week. But I want you to know we have to start building. It's time for the church to start building. And then it's time to fight. You got to start fighting, church. You have to fight. Nehemiah said, listen, we're going to carry tools in one hand as we build and repair and restore, and we're going to carry a sword in the other hand. And I don't know which hand. Paul said, I walk in the flesh, but I war in the spirit. I walk in the flesh, but I war in the spirit. And don't you go confusing my walk with my war. Maybe you think my walk is weak, but I want you to know my war is strong, man. I walk in the flesh, but I war from the spirit. God's calling us to war, church. He's calling us to fight for the souls of all mankind. If your heart does not break for your sisters and brothers and uncles and nephews, if it's not broken, it's wrong. Don't be angry, be broken. Don't be angry, be broken for the lost. And I pray that your focus would be on the lost. You see, don't be distracted. Don't allow the enemy to distract you into looking at things that don't really matter. Let your heart be broken for the souls of all mankind that are destined to go to hell unless heaven reaches them, unless the gospel of Jesus reaches them, unless they be born again. They cannot see God. But you must be born again. I pray that would get deep in your spirit, that you would evangelize your sisters, brothers, uncles, nephews, nieces, moms, dads. Yeah, it's time to build, and it's time to fight. It's time to fight for our family. It's time to fight for the souls of all mankind. And I want to encourage you as I close, and I'll probably got like a 10-minute close here, so hold on. I want you to stop asking God for what is easy and start asking God for what is enduring. Stop asking God for what is easy. Stop looking for the easy way out and start looking for that which endures for all of eternity. Joshua 14, 10 to 12. You can go and read it. I want you to read it later. Joshua 14, 10 to 12. This is the passage of scripture where Caleb, he says, listen, he's 85 years old. He's 85 years old, man. He's at the end of his life. And you know what he asked God for? If anyone had like an excuse or permission. He had a pass. I want you to know he had a pass. He's 85. He was one of the, you know, the two of the spies that came back with the report of the Lord. He had lived his life faithfully. He had went before God and lived faithfully his whole life. And he's 85. He's up in age. And he has an excuse. He has a pass. He could literally say, I don't give me the hills. Give me the valley. Give me the flatland. Give me the plains. Give me the plains where there's no hills. And I can walk easily. I can kind of breeze through the tail end of my existence here on earth. I want my walk to be easy. He could have used that excuse, but you know what? He didn't do that. You know what he did in this passage? He said, give me the hill country. I want the mountains. Give me the hard stuff. Don't give me the easy stuff. I want to go out just as strong as I came in. I want my life and my faith at the end of my life to be just as strong as it was and just as passionate as it was at the beginning of my life. And I ask you this today, are you burning for Christ? Is the end of your, like right now as you walk, are you asking for the hill country or are you asking for the plains? Because Caleb asked for hills at 85 years old. He could have settled for easy and used his age as an excuse.
issues, but he did not. And I want you to know, if you desire to be significant, the cost will be more than most are willing to pay. You see, most people are going to settle. They're going to settle. They're going to settle for the planes. They're going to settle for easy. They're going to settle for just, you know, milk and cookies. They're going to settle for, you know, my sister Ashley, you know, she's our worship pastor. She's amazing. You know what? I've seen her do time and time again. When the resistance of the spiritual realm comes before her, what I've seen, and this is what separates those who walk in hills from those who walk in plains. What separates is when the resistance comes, most people who walk the easy walk stop. When the resistance comes, when somebody says no, when they hear a report, when people start talking, when people start leaving, when all the circumstances of life start defying the promises of God, most people just say no. Most people just say, all right, I bow out. That's all I got. I'm done. I'm just going to finish this thing up and be on my way. But my sister Ashley, man, she's got this thing in her. She got this gangster spirit in her. You know, she killed lions and bears. And every time she comes up against a giant, she says, listen, this giant's going to die. And when that resistance hits her, she pushes into it. She pushes into it further and further and further until she drives out the enemy of the land. And I want you to know that spirit is in you. It's the more that I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Your spirit doesn't know how to lose. And too many of us reserve. We go to walking in the flesh rather than warring in the spirit. When life gets hard, we say, I'm just going to walk in my flesh. You know, walking in your flesh will want you to be right. When you walk in your flesh and you take the easy way, you just settle for the carnality of the flesh. Like, I want to be right. But I want you to know today, church, you can't be right and be anointed. You got to surrender your right to be right. You don't have a right to be right anymore. The anointing will cost you. It says, take up the cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. The cross means you die, Christ lives. Whatever's in front of you, just say, I die, Christ live. I no longer live, Christ lives in me. And I want you to know, most people will not be significant because they're not willing to pay the price. And I want you to know, there is a price to be paid. There's a price to be paid. If you want what is enduring, if you want what is eternal, the price to be paid is your walk with God. Your walk with God, man. You're gonna have to tell yourself, don't give me what's easy, God. And you're gonna have to embrace hard. I want you to know, you were created for hard. You got to be willing to pay more than the casual followers of Christ. You got to pay more than what they're willing to pay. And it'll separate yourself from the masses if you'll do that. You will separate yourself from the multitudes of people who just want the free stuff. Give me the free anointing. Give me the stuff that comes off of the altar on Sunday when they've put in the time and they've lived the hard life. Like, I want you to know that God has anointed you for this time. You are anointed for hard. He knew exactly who you were when he called you, when he chose you for this time. If you're in ministry at this time, if you're raising children at this time, I want you to know, if you're an elder in this season, I want you to know God knew the time he would put you here, and you are anointed for this season. And this is a hard season. Yep, it's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy staying in relationships. It's not easy staying in covenant connection with one another. You're going to have to fight through your ego, through your pride. You got to lay down your life. You're going to have to serve people. But Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for everyone. My life is a ransom. It doesn't belong to me. I'm here to serve. I'm here to give my life away. And I just want you to pray, God, give me the hill country, God. God, give me the hard stuff. God, send me the hard stuff. I want you to know that prayer will send to you. You know, you are anointed for hard. You are anointed for hard. He made you this way. I think I'm like, God, why am I going through all of this? He's like, Troy, I made you for this, man. I made you for this. I said, God, how come they all get to walk away? But he said, I made you for this, man. You were made for this hard stuff. Everybody else would have quit by now. But look at you, Troy. Look at you. Another problem's on the horizon tomorrow. And I want you to know, you don't graduate from hard to no hard. You graduate from hard to harder to hardest to more harder to more harder hardest. You just live with this fantasy to believe that once I get past this hard thing, then it'll be easier. It's not. It's not. It's not. God has anointed you. God has anointed you and equipped you for the heaviest fight of the kingdom.
that we've ever seen, the heaviest fight the kingdom has ever seen. And so I want you to pray this. God, give me the hill country. I don't want what's easy. I want what's enduring. Give me what's eternal. I'll lay down my life. Just give me what's eternal. You know, there was a young girl, and she changed my life forever, man. She's 15 years old. I seen her from across the room, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord all over her. I went up to her after the service, and I said, man, look, I want you to know that I went and found her, and I just said, look, you need to know this. This might sound really strange, but I want you to know, I think you're wearing the coat of Catherine Kuhlman. I think you picked it up along the way. Somehow God's anointed you to wear this thing. Somebody prayed it on you. I don't know how you got it, man, but you got it. And man, when I said that, the Spirit of the Lord fell, boom, fell. Everybody around began to weep, began to cry. And I said, man, I was like, God, give me young people. I'm 50 years old. God, give me young people. I want to be a youth pastor, God. Give me young people. I sowed a sacrificial seed, and I said, God, give me young people. And now every time I turn around, all I see is young people. They're coming to the Lord. They're coming to the Lord. You got to get your kids to church, man. This young generation, they know how to war. They know how to war. They know what's real. We got to equip them. We got to build the generation. We got to build the kingdom for this generation. Because they know how to war. And know what's real. They want it. They want it, man. They want it. But we got to go get them. I want to challenge you to go get some young people. Bring them to church, man. Impart. Teach them to pray. Teach them how to read their Bible. Teach them the gifts of the Spirit. God, I want the hills. I don't want what's easy. I don't want what's easy. Losers want what's easy. I don't want what's easy. I don't want easy. I want to get to heaven and be like, that was hard. But you endured. You endured. He who endures to the end. I want you to know God sees, God knows, God cares, man. But it's time to embrace the assignment of our time. It's hard. It's never been darker. It's never been more perverse. There's never been a generation more confused, more lost, but you are anointed for this. I know it's hard what you're going through. I know it's hard, but I want you to know his burden is easy. It's yoke. It's light. It's yoke. How's that go? Yoke. You know what I mean. Yeah. It's easy. It's easy. It's light. It's light. The burden of the Lord, man, it'll wake you up. It'll move you. It'll attract you. You get the burden of the Lord, it'll attract you to hard. It won't make you run from it. It'll make you run to it. It's time to start running hard. It's a hard conversation. It's hard. Difficulty. Momentary light affliction. It's what it's called in the Bible. God, give me the hills. I don't want what's easy. I want what's eternal. I want to make a long-lasting impression for Christ with my life. Amen. In Jesus' name. Listen. Go out there. Go out there. Face hard. Straight up. Look hard right in the face and tell it. Tell it just like David did. You uncircumcised Philistine. I killed lions and bears. God is for me. Who could be against me? You will die just like them. Hard might be right in front of you, but I want you to know Christ is able. He's your fortress, and it's time. You walk in the flesh, but you war in the Spirit, and the weapons of your warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty, they're mighty, they're mighty. Pray you were encouraged today. My pleasure to be here with you. I'm Troy, I'm your friend. I got to go. Thank you for taking the time to join me today. I pray you were encouraged, empowered, strengthened. Until next time, wake up and hustle like heaven. Make sure somebody out there feels the effects of your influence. Bring heaven to your home, your city, your nation. Don't wait till it's too late. Get to church this Sunday, that place that manufactures hope, produces the power of heaven on earth. Don't you tell me that church don't matter. Get the church. Get your family to church. I'm Pastor Troy Thompson. I'll see you next time.